And our schedule today, as we told you, we're going to head down to the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. And as always, waiting for us there, the president and CEO, my great friend, Eric Spoonmore. Good afternoon, buddy. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. How are you?
Merry Christmas, Glass. Happy holidays. Hope you're doing well. It's been a busy year, hasn't it?
Oh, wow. Goodness. Even December's been busy. And I told you off the air, give me a stamp. I'm ready to mail this baby in. Let's get to the hot. Let's get some eggnog going. Let's get a Yule log. Get a Yule log eaten. Let's sing some carols. Let's have some Christmas fun. But we've had plenty of hoop activity. And well, you had a busy one last week. You had a little ties and connections too.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of buzz right now going on. And I heard you had Coach Kylie Jarrett on your show last week with the Bloomington North girls, new coach there, and former Indiana All-Star, former standout at Ball State University. And just a lot of buzz with the North girls right now. They had a big win over South, the crosstown rivalry. So congratulations to North on that. Like you said, a lot of high school basketball going on right now. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was down in Brownstown at the Brownstown Central Gymnasium, the Jack Bentner
Classic, huh?
Watch Jack Bentner play Scottsburg. That Scottsburg, I think, was number three in the state, Brownstown number two. And boy, that was a fun atmosphere down there. There is nothing better than Southern Indiana high school basketball. So that's one of our favorite things to do is go to a game every once in a while and check out all that stuff. And we'll be ready for the North-South big crosstown rivalry in January. That's coming up, too, for the boys. So looking forward to all of that stuff. Of course, IU, you know, it's we're excited for them, too. Is it kind of up and down, it feels like? But hopefully we'll get a big win tonight, and that shouldn't be any problem, and kind of cruise into the holidays here.
Well, I hope the Jayhawk fans were good for business because it was a busy, busy weekend. You had graduation with folks in town for winter commencement. You had the everybody with the big chicken on their shirt coming in from Lawrence or wherever they were from. We've been busy and you've been busy. The chamber is busy. The CIB is busy. So we're gonna try to get through all of it today. You've got a survey going out for the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce. What are you hoping to learn, and what have you learned from previous surveys? Is this kind of an annual time for all that stuff?
Are we talking about the legislative and public policy survey?
I think that's the one. That sounds out of my league, so that sounds about right.
Well, we got a lot of surveys going around, but this is always a big one. And this is what informs the chamber on some of the big advocacy issues and public policy issues that we're going to be involved with and taking a role in as we advocate with our local government, state government, et cetera. So we get a lot of feedback on this. You know, some of the things that we're hearing right now is, you know, we've got a very difficult environment for housing in the community. We know that there's a shortage, probably at a crisis point of housing here, and that's important for our workforce development. It's important for retaining and recruiting the talent that we need to develop our workforce here. So that's a big issue we're going to be advocating for, is just getting policies in place to get more housing created and developed here in Bloomington and Monroe County. Really looking at all price points, you know, affordable housing, workforce housing, the middle income housing, and even the upper income housing. We just need more of it all around. So that's a big priority for us heading into 2024. We always hear concerns and interests in matters of public safety. And so this is something that we'll continue to be very mindful of as we look at getting our police department here fully staffed. We're about 22 officers short, I believe. And so that's important to us that we really have a fully staffed police department. We're making some progress on that. I saw the city just hired a couple of more sworn officers, so that's good. And, you know, we want our police officers to know that they're welcome here in Bloomington and that we need them, and they're so critical to the quality of life that we enjoy and the vibrancy of our business community. And so that's a really important issue for us. And, you know, addiction and mental health disorders, and we're seeing such a high prevalence of this at rates that I don't think we've ever experienced before. And and what we see when we have this, these severe addiction issues and mental health disorders that go untreated, you know, it leads, I think, to a lot of the issues that we see with homelessness. And so, of course, it's a very complicated issue, homelessness is, but, you know, we think we can really make some progress in those areas if we can just get the resources that are needed to address the severe addiction with fentanyl and methamphetamine and intravenous drugs and things that we're seeing around the community that are highly addictive and destructive to people's lives, getting people the help that they need to get off of drugs and to, you know, get into positive situations for their life where they can be productive in the community, as well as, you know, with mental health disorders. We really need a lot more resources coming from the state and the federal government to address these things. We're seeing this not just here in Bloomington, but all across the nation. Again, I think we're at a crisis point that we're going to have to reckon with here in the next, you know, couple of years. And so those will be big issues that we're working on here locally. And that's what we've heard from our members is that are really important to them as well, too. So we want to make sure that we're doing the best we can to get progress in those areas.
Eric Spoonmore, the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, joins us this afternoon, checking in. And, well, the city of Bloomington, we'll talk about this with Mayor Hamilton next hour as well, they're going to help some our downtown merchants. We had free garage and street meter parking last Saturday. We will also have it Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, into the Christmas weekend. That's also helpful. Why? Well, so we can get downtown and help our local merchants. How important is that to having a healthy and sustainable economy here locally?
Well, it is so important. It's absolutely critical to our health and long-term sustainability of our local economy. And thanks so much to the city and to the administration for suspending those parking requirements. I know that at times residents can get a little frustrated with that when they see the meter readers out there writing the tickets and so forth. It's an important revenue source for the city, but I think it's such a nice gesture of goodwill towards our residents where the city is saying, please support our local merchants, our downtown businesses. They have really been putting in the hours over the last couple of months. And, you know, they're almost there at the finish line as we get through the holiday season. But there has been nobody working harder than our small businesses during this holiday season. They are doing it all. And we wish them all the best for a very prosperous year and hope that they can get a little bit of rest, too, when everything calms down here over the next couple of weeks. They deserve a little bit of a break as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. So we're running out of excuses. Come on, folks. The weather's going to be in the 50s. The lows are in the 40s. No parking fees for the garage or street meters. Get downtown, have some fun, support local, and to help keep our local economy healthy. All right, I don't want this to be brought up too late. I want to plant this seed before we get to all the pomp and circumstance of Christmas and New Year's. But the legislative preview, the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, is coming up early in January. What date should we mark our calendars? Where are you going to have this fantastic get-together? And who is going to be there?
So the legislative preview is always one of my favorite events of the year, just a fantastic way to kick off the new calendar year and the new year with the chamber. This is going to be Friday, January 12th for a luncheon at the mill downtown, not the Woolery Mill, but the mill downtown in the Trades District. And so we will be there with, and I believe we have four state legislators in our area that are confirmed. So we'll have Senator Yoder, Senator Cook, Representative Bob Heaton, and Representative Mayfield. So we should have a very good, robust discussion on what the priorities are going to be in the legislature during the short session this year, something that the chamber follows very closely. We build a lot of effective relationships with our legislators, and we certainly appreciate them coming to inform our business community and the community at large on some of the important issues that they're going to be working on this winter and spring. So, yeah, mark your calendars for January 12th. That'll be a Friday at the Mill for our legislative preview event.
Eric Spoonmore, the president and CEO of the Greater Bloomington Chamber of Commerce, joining us today. Well, there's some other big things going on as well that you're a part of, and the Capital Improvement Board is one of those. You guys got together, what, middle last week, late last week? What have we learned? What are we learning? And how about a timeline for what to expect once the calendar hits 2024, buddy?
So this, I thought, was a terrific meeting that the Capital Improvement Board had on Wednesday last week. We had a lot of people in attendance, and it seems like the community is really starting to build support for this convention center expansion project. We had a terrific presentation that was given to us by the project architects that have been working on it up to the point where it kind of stalled out in 2020, and that was Schmidt Associates, very professional firm, and they've got a sub firm kind of working with them, Convergence. And so we received some really good information along with an analysis of the different options for expansion. Could we go south? Could we go north? What do all of those different, I think there were six or seven different options that were, presented during the different charrettes that they were working on back in 2020, a few years ago. And so I don't think anybody is interested in really reinventing the wheel here. I think we've got some excellent options to be considering. Schmidt & Associates is a first-rate, world-class architecture firm, understands this business very well. And so I think everyone pretty much has the consensus that, yeah, we want to continue this relationship and get moving as quickly as we can. I think the big questions that remain now are, how much money do we have to work with? We'll probably need to get another financial analysis done on the revenue stream, the food and beverage tax, how much that will allow us to bond for, given that interest rates have changed dramatically since that was last looked at a few years ago. And so we need to understand the budget and how much we have to work with. And then we also need to understand what properties are we going to be using. What's the footprint going to be for this new convention center? One of the big questions that came up was the former Bunger and Robertson property and the surrounding parking lot there just north of the existing convention center. Is that going to be available for expansion? And so we're still kind of awaiting answers to that. When the city's redevelopment commission purchased that property, I think it was for upward of $5 million a few years ago. The idea at the time was that would be available for convention center expansion. I think it would be a great fit for the expansion of the convention center, but that'll be up to the RDC and the city officials to kind of inform us about that. You know, if it's not, you know, we have plenty of options to look at. So we're very excited. The timeline that we're kind of operating on is we want this thing to be open by early 2027 or late 2026. So that's not too far away. The momentum that we have got going right now, we have never seen before on this project. And I am just so proud of my colleagues on the Capital Improvement Board for their commitment and their dedication to this important economic development project in the community, as well as the commitment from our elected officials that they have demonstrated as well, too. It's great to see so many different partners finally working together on this project, and I couldn't be any more proud.
And your board's full. Everybody's there. We've got all the pieces sorted out. We've got all of the. Now we got tax money over here. We got this over there. We got everything. All right. So what do you guys do come January? Do you have a meeting schedule we can follow? Do you have a website we can go to? How does the public stay connected?
We do have a meeting scheduled in January. I believe it's January 17th, and that will be at 1 p.m. over at the convention center. The Capital Improvement Board is still kind of in the process of, we haven't even got our financial banking account set up yet, but there is an appropriation from the city that has been made to kind of cover our initial expenses. And so once we get all of that squared away and set up, we'll be able to start accepting money and getting the different aspects paid for and taken care of. One of those is going to be getting a website that is totally owned and operated by the Capital Improvement Board, so that people don't have to go back and forth between the city's website and the county's website to find information on this, which is the kind of confusing to people right now. But as soon as we're able to get that website designed, we'll have that online soon, and that will be the go-to source for all the information that people need, not only on our meetings and the makeup of the Capital Improvement Board, but the actual convention center expansion itself. We'll have lots of updates there that people can follow. Again, something we're very, very excited about, and the momentum is at an all-time high for this right now.
Excellent. So we hope everybody is continuing to work together. We hope all of the money start getting where they need to go. And the faster we get this thing moving in the right direction, well, the construction costs maybe won't rise 50% in the next 2 years. We hope that's not the case.
And that's something, you know, the construction cost, that was made pretty clear to us in that last meeting that we had last week, that when we were looking at this 3 years ago, construction costs have probably gone up close to 50% since then. So that is an eye-popping number, almost shocking how much the costs have gone up with construction due to inflation and just overall cost increases in that industry. But, you know, we're going to get through this. I think that what people really didn't anticipate very early on when the food and beverage tax passed was how well that revenue stream was going to perform. And the food and beverage tax is generating a lot more money now than, you know, when I was on the county council and when it passed, and I ever thought it would be back in 2017, 2016. So that's good news. And it continues that upward trend. I think we'll be in good shape.
Well, some inflation helps then, right? Some inflation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
That is all part of the magic formula, the pieces of the puzzle that the CIB is trying to put together. And, we'll learn more then coming up on January 17th, the big legislative show at the Mill, the 12th. Well, we better get caught up with you then in that second week of January when we get back to make sure that we're not left out after eating too much Christmas turkey.
Hey, that sounds good to me. And don't forget, we will be having some ribbon cuttings coming up in January as well, too. So Friday, January 5th, we're doing a ribbon cutting for Gen 215. On Tuesday, January 16th, we're having a ribbon cutting for Trademark Title. And then on January 25th, ribbon cutting for a new dental office that joined the chamber, Cummings Dental, and they're a downtown dental office, so that's nice.
There is no so rest, is
a lot
there?
Of, there really isn't. A lot of new members, you know, continue to join the chamber, and, you know, we... It's always fun to celebrate these big milestones and openings of new businesses. It's a great part of being in the community.
Excellent job, my friend. I know you're wearing multiple hats. Make sure that you enjoy your Christmas and New Year's season as well, and keep up the great work and all the fronts that you are doing in our community. And I know I'll run into you before the new year at some point, but we'll talk to you when we get back in 2024.
Sounds good, my friend. I look forward to it. Merry Christmas to you and yours, and we'll talk to you in the new year.